I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live. We've got some news and notes. Technori Showcase is right around the corner, Tuesday, October 18th, to be exact. We've got some amazing startups headlined by former Shark Tank contestant Rhett Like a Champion, who was invested in by Mark Cuban and Chris Sacca. I love Chris Sacca's shirts, by the way. He'll also be in studio, not Sacca, Rhett Like a Champion CEO Mike Doyle, in studio at WGN next Tuesday. Our keynote is Tom Sosnoff, who sold Thinkorswim to TD Ameritrade for $600 million in 2009. He had just enough money to buy a hat and start a few more companies. Dough and Tasty Trade. And if that's not enough, we've got a Technori website launch party immediately following the showcase. So get your tickets now at technori.com/tickets. On to the show. So restaurant tech has actually been a fairly popular conversation. We've had numerous tech companies and startups in the restaurant and entertainment space. We actually have one on our Technori Showcase, Reveal, that hosts parties and events and things. It's an app that helps host parties and events. We've had Tally on here. We've had Nix Align. We had Nick Aconis from Tock, who just raised a pile of cash. And now today, it's Matt Fote, CEO of Emerging, a company a family of companies that supply restaurants and entertainment operators with the tools and resources they need to scale. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks. Good to be here, Scott.
Yeah. So, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, like Nick Aconis, they just raised a pile of cash with Tock. This is a really hot industry, and there's a lot of things that are shifting in the restaurant space and the entertainment space, and predominantly because I think, you know, as Nick said when he was on the show, there was such an old-fashioned, non-analytical approach. The restaurant industry was sort of I was a server for 15 years, and then I decided to go out on my own as a sous chef. Then I ended up becoming a chef. I started my own restaurant, and they never went through the strategic business part of it. Nick and those guys came from a trading background,
right?
So they always were looking at things from, you know, how do we maintain the same level of services on an analytical level?
True.
How do we manage our time and hourly employees in a way that we know that we're making the best use of time? Prior to the last few years, I don't think that was like something that was going on in the restaurant industry. Obviously, you can shed a whole lot of light on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was funny. I was an Aspen Food and Wine Festival, and you had all these great restaurateur operators together. And one interesting thing is like restaurants had a lot of data 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they had no data. 5 years ago, they had a lot of data, and now they have data they don't know what to do with.
Yep.
And so one of the things with Tipsy, which is one of our newest endeavors we're launching, we've been in beta now for about 6 months. I'm coming out of beta ready to go hit the market. We're using data to help restaurants impact their bottom line in a big way. So actually it's using data in a way that they never even thought could possibly be used. So what we're doing there is we're educating and rewarding servers and bartenders for their performance. And we're tied to the point of sale system. So now after a server works their shift, the next morning they get a text and they click on that text link and it shows all these important metrics, how they performed for that last shift, that yesterday. And it compares to the last week, it compares to the last 30 days. And then if they are performing well, they had a great shift, they get rewarded, they had a great month or a week or whatever, we actually reward them with financial gift cards. And so it promotes education around the drinks that the restaurants want them to sell.
Yeah.
And it allows them, you know, they're not going to be a sommelier or a cicerone or mixologist, but we provide a really relevant educational trivia that can hopefully allow them to engage deeper.
So I think, you know, one of the things that actually, again, not to continue to plug Nick over here, but one of the things we talked about with them was the analytics, and I'm a huge believer in it, and I think it's important. I think sometimes in the wrong hands, they don't understand how to use it. As you mentioned, they have more data than they know what to do with.
Right.
If not applied properly, it can be a tool of evil in some cases, where you're just basically just putting, you know, a silo right on top of the managers of your restaurant and being like, listen, this is how we're going to do it. And they're saying that from the investor standpoint, and that person is in the trenches, like, you know, I can only have so much, you know, control of things. The analytics are the result of what I'm doing. I can only make so many changes. And they don't quite understand how to apply it in a learning way, how to use the analytics to turn it around and say, listen, I'm not criticizing your performance today per se. I'm just saying that there are better ways that you could have been improved here. You could have improved here. You could improve here. And using it as a teaching tool, which you guys are doing, I think is really unique. I've not actually seen that, having had numerous restaurant tech companies come through here. I've not seen any of them using it from an educational standpoint. Almost all of them are using it in like either efficiency and shortening the line or wait times or like the most obvious analytics.
Right.
So it's really cool to see you guys coming up with something that would actually improve the skill set of the operators.
Right. And it's pretty unusual. Like servers too. I mean, you know, servers are a lot of times, you know, they're, if you look at what tools are given to learn, it's challenging, and they don't have a mobile, you know, an easy format to learn, and they do these stand-up meetings or before they open a restaurant, but it's not really the environment for them to learn.
No.
In a deep, meaning way. And now we...
Well, and it's also so easy to get new people, yeah. And you feel like there's a fear of getting fired or quit, or they don't, you know, whatever. They move, a lot of the servers move around from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant, and so there's like... put it this way, bad habits can be developed really, really quickly, and they become very, very difficult to unwind out of people. And that's true for anything in life. But with the server industry in particular, I feel like you see servers and managers being paired together at different restaurants on a frequent basis.
Right. And it's an opportunity for them, too. I mean, if they learn something and they can engage that guest and actually talk about this wine in a sophisticated, you know, something that relates to you,
yeah.
Or a beer, because there's so many craft beers out there now. It's crazy the amount of, you know, beers that might appear to you. Somebody's not even thinking of, like, there's a bourbon beer aged in an oak barrel, a beer that, you know, somebody basically never thought that would appeal to. That's a Scotch drinker or a bourbon drinker. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, this beer is great.
Yeah.
I haven't had a beer in 10 years. And now that server is probably going to get a higher tip, or is going to maybe sell an extra drink. And then ultimately, you know, that these servers are working on tight budgets a lot of times and don't get the opportunity to get recognized for their performance. And so it's cool.
So give us a little bit of an example of Tipsy in action. So yeah. How does a restaurant or a restaurateur engage with you to put this in play, and then how would I see this, you know, sort of manifest itself in the end product, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, what we do, you know, the engagement's really simple for us. We tie to the point of sale system with basically a restaurant reaches out to us. We immediately tie the POS. We have channel partners and they integrate us in. We can integrate with every POS system out there, pretty much in the U.S. And then from there, we figure out what challenges, what's important to the restaurant. They maybe have a premium cocktail that for the season. Maybe there's a extra inventory that they want to sell. So one of the restaurants here in Chicago, they had over about 100 taps, and there was one keg that they wanted to get rid of before the end of the month. And they were used to play these simple bingo games of, like, they would scratch off every time a server would sell this one beer in the pre-shift. They would announce the beer. Every time that server sold it, they would mark it off the scorecard or the bingo card at the end of the night. Very cumbersome. And so if we can use Tipsy, in which we've done for these guys, so they don't have to look in the POS. They have an opportunity to see what the server has sold and sell that keg. Because once you educate that server about that beer,
yep,
that keg is going to move. And so ultimately, once we get that implemented, that challenge, we call it, what that restaurant wants to, what product they want to move, then we reward that server. And so what we ask the restaurant to do is come up with a pot of money, $200 a month, or some restaurants now want to give $1,000 a month. It goes 100% to the restaurant. We don't make any money off the rewards, or what the restaurants don't pay us anything. But we facilitate the whole reward fulfillment to make sure it's being done right. And then ultimately, those servers are getting those cash rewards for performance. And then, you know, they obviously, it's like a Fitbit for servers, is what we like to say.
Yeah. So I think this is actually really brilliant. Particularly, there's a lot of different ways the reward system could have been built. You could have just had a rating system and they could get, you know, better shift picking, or they could, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of different ways, higher percentage of the tip when they tip out at the end of the night. There's all kinds of ways. Going the route of gamified and reward system with credits and points, to me, is brilliant. This is probably going to be a very ignorant statement, so I'll just preface this. But of the server people that I have known and ever been around, and those who I know who currently work at like the golf course and things like that that I talk to regularly, they love playing games like on their shift. They always are betting on each other on different things.
Yeah.
That's probably just the golf guys who are obsessed with it. But
yeah.
you know, I think there's something in the mentality of the server that just makes them sort of a little bit of a gambler, a little bit of a like fly by the seat of the pants. So I'm assuming you have some sort of background in this beyond this, because to be able to have the insight to know that doing the route of, you know, picking your shift better or getting a better tip out at the end of the night would be something that would actually go the other direction. It would not inspire them to work harder and learn more. It would just sort of hurt the morale.
For sure.
And going the route of gamified is brilliant.
Yeah, it was my first hire, actually, was a was our COO, and Hudson came from a gamification background. He built Lord of the Rings. He was a project manager for Lord of the Rings games.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's accolades on multiple games, building, being the project manager. So I the first guy I hired was a guy with a gamification background.
Absolutely. Very cool. Yeah. What was your background?
So I basically, coming out of college, I started working with restaurants, helping restaurants expand nationwide. So focus was real estate expansion for national chains. And then I got into some other fields and helping just restaurants solve some pain points. So in 2008, I started a company with John Davey called Consolidated Concepts, and helping them reduce their food costs. It was a major issue, bringing in leverage and technology to help them in their supply chain distribution. Today, we have over 200 chains, 30,000 restaurants in that company that are clients of ours. I formed Emerging Capital Partners to help restaurants, early stage restaurants, reduce cost. Acutely, a data intelligence company with a couple of data scientists. And then we have Tipsy, obviously part of this, that is now solving the educational piece, the problem with servers and motivating them, which obviously today is only 30% of the workforce is motivated at work. I mean, that's worldwide it's 17%, but it's only 30%. So I think Tipsy is a great opportunity for to kind of motivate. And if you have a motivated, engaged staff, it's amazing what you can do with them.
Do you guys have any companies that like help with parking lot maintenance and things? Because this is the only thing you're missing on the restaurant industry. You've got the inside under the roof, the building architecture and the government, or the governing of all of these franchises. There's nothing left.
It's a good idea. Maybe we should.
Seriously, that's the only thing that's missing from your portfolio there. So I guess as an entrepreneur, I try to ask this question, usually is once to one of the guests each week. I chose you as the person because when I saw that you had like five companies that you're operating at the same time, a lot of us that have our own one company feel like we have five companies at one time. How do you manage all of those different things and still sort of keep a clear vision for each one? They don't intertwine with one another. Obviously, there's some, but
it's tough. It's definitely tough. But I think, the key is having the right leader in each company. So I've really empowered a person or a couple people at the very top, a president or a COO. Obviously with Tipsy, I'm president. But our COO, we just hired a guy that had 16 years, or actually 17 years with Bacardi, to help us with the suppliers. So it all comes down to the people, the bottom line. And I've been ridiculously attentive to hiring awesome people, and that's the key. Like each of our companies, the people within them are amazing.
If you didn't have a chance, you got to talk to Ramin Chatta over at the Junto Institute. He was just here now. One last thing I've got for you, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but are you guys self-funding most of this stuff, or is it the family of companies manages and develops enough money, and then it's all the same crew of capital partners that are investing in these new companies, or how do you guys do that?
We have been self-funded to date, each of the companies, but Tipsy is interesting. We have an opportunity here to really scale this quick. It's a lot of our other companies are one-on-one with a lot high engagement,
different scale model.
Different scale model, and but Tipsy has an opportunity, so we will be raising capital for Tipsy at some point. We're pretty deep and heavy investment at this point, but we're looking for smart capital. We will be looking for smart capital, somebody that we see as a partner and not just money. So, okay. But we've had some interest and from some folks I think fit that profile.
For those who fit that profile, where do they go to learn more about Tipsy, and where do they go to learn more about all of the other companies you guys are working on?
I think tipsy.com is pretty easy to find.
How the hell did you get tipsy.com?
You know, it's it was interesting.
We just talked to someone about domains. Yeah. Now I'm listening to this
tipsy.com and emerging.com.
I was going to ask about that too.
And we bought some good domains over the years, but it was a process. I mean, we had somebody owned it, and obviously there was you're never the first.
Yeah.
And we Consolidate Concepts. We had Consolidate Concepts without an S. .com, and then we had consolidateconcepts.net, and then now we're buying hopefully he's not listening.
Yeah.
we're in the process of buying consolidateconcepts.com. But it took us literally since 2008, so we're going on 8 years trying to buy
.com. That shows you where that long-term vision, how important it is. I mean, just as a side note, just kind of funny. I mean, I said to Maris with regard to donuts, I've been in this domain hawking business for a little while. And I just get lucky. Like Medill School of Journalism in Northwestern, I own Medillion.com, which is like what they call their graduates, which they were not real happy with. This station here, I actually own WGMBusiness.com.
Nice.
So there's like all kinds of random things there. It's amazing how much that can impact the search and people finding your business.
Oh, it is.
It's crazy.
It is important. I mean, you know, obviously the search tools are getting more sophisticated today, but it is. It's identifier that are you legit? Yeah.
You see emerging.com or you see tipsy.com. It's credibility instantly. Well, people can go to tipsy.com on social media. You guys anywhere out there for Tipsy and all the other things?
Yeah, we're on the typical Twitter and the Facebook.
Did you get at Tipsy?
We did not get it on Twitter. We did not get it on Twitter. Yeah.
Well, that's your next step.
Yeah.
Got to get it on
next
Twitter. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You can stream this episode and more at WGMBusiness.com. Visit Technori.com, and please stay connected by following us on Twitter at Technori and Facebook at Technori. If you want to find me, you can find me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.